Hey, this is Sam. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this interview with Kirk Cameron. We really enjoyed this one, and it's full of encouragement and wisdom, nuggets of wisdom. We are thankful for your patience as well. We've been definitely busy, but trying to get some podcasts uploaded for you all in the last few weeks here. And also, we have some interviews definitely ready to be uploaded here with Sadie Robertson. We have Billy Wagner, ex-pitcher for the Houston Astros and New York Mets. We have Rachel Hendricks from the movie October Baby ready to go as well. We also are interviewing some folks. We are interviewing Wendell Holland, the season 36 winner of Survivor, and his dad. They're coming on with us as well. So we have some good things coming up for our podcast, and we hope that you enjoy and are encouraged by Kirk's interview. All right, Kirk, again, we appreciate you coming on with us today. And again, Jasmine's here with us.
Hello, it's Jasmine.
Hey, great to be talking with you guys.
Yeah.
Appreciate your time. I know you're really busy. Tell us a little, before we get started with a few of the kind of the nitty gritty questions about family and parenting, tell us a little bit about your family dynamic.
I am married to an amazing lady named Chelsea, and we were actually boyfriend and girlfriend on a TV show probably before Jasmine was born.
That's so cool.
Growing Pains. We were boyfriend and girlfriend. We've been married for 25 years. We've got 6 kids. 4 of our kids are adopted. We always joke and say that we can't remember which ones are adopted, mm-hmm. but we've got 3 boys, 3 girls, and our kids are 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, and 13.
Wow.
So we got driver's license. We got marriage around the corner, college around the corner.
Wow.
It's pretty crazy at our house.
That's so cool, though.
Wow, that's awesome. That you have a busy house.
We sure do, but it's our hands full of great things, and the little toddler stages are crazy, and you can pull your hair out. And the infant stages, of course, are challenging when you don't get any sleep, and you got diapers and car seats and all that. But the teenage years are challenging too, not just for us as parents, but also for our kids as they're learning who they are and what their convictions are, owning their faith, and struggling through all that to ultimately become the people that God wants them to be. So it's life is a great school that way.
Mm. That's great. And again, we have families listening that have large families. And how do you, with 6 kids, especially as they get going through these the teenage years and young adulthood, how do you, as a dad, how do you maintain a close personal relationship with each one? Because I know it can be hard, I'm sure. How do you do that?
That's a great question. That's why I'm so glad you and Jasmine are doing this podcast, because I think if we're going to be honest, we're going to all say that we're all figuring it out as we go. Mm-hmm. I don't think that while there are great books out there on how to have great relationships with your parents as a teenager, or how to have great relationships with your kids growing up, we know that it's a struggle because all of our situations are unique to our family and to our personalities. So I'm trying to figure it out just as you are. This last week, my wife and I took a business trip that I had in Denver, Colorado, and turned it into a family vacation before school starts. And we went fly fishing, horseback riding, whitewater rafting, hiking, mountain biking. It was so much fun. And trips like that don't happen that often in our family, but when they do, it reminds me that time spent together without distraction is some of the most valuable investment you can make in your family.
It's a personal thing.
It is personal. Yeah, that's right. It is personal.
How do you, of course, I'm sure, our kids, or Jasmine does, we have a 12-year-old and a 10-year-old as well. They're not quite into the devices yet, phones and tablets and all that. So on that vacation, say, for example, how do you, devices are a thing, texting and Instagram and Facebook. How does that communication go with your kids? Like, all right, guys, or, kids, we're going to have to, now we're going to have to put our phones away. We're going to have to kind of put it all aside to enjoy that time. How do those conversations go sometimes?
Probably a lot like they do in your house. I don't know exactly what your rules are or what your guidelines are, but we try to have guiding principles for our kids and make sure that they understand that FaceTime is actual, flesh on flesh FaceTime, not the iTunes feature, the Apple feature, and that we have plenty of that. So you can have your rules about, time and when you don't. But it's interesting. We live in a world where, again, we're trying to figure out what to do here because past generations didn't have to deal with this kind of thing. So devices can become the vices that split families apart, where I've seen people sitting at the same table, mm-hmm. dinner table, and they text each other rather than opening up their mouth and talking.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And so then the art of communication gets lost behind the screen. I think as years go on, we'll see the consequences of that, what it does to families, what it does to marriages. And so we're just trying to figure it out. It's usually once or twice a day, someone loses their phone and it goes in Dad's back pocket,
Right.
We have time to sit down and talk about that and talk about how we're going to be more responsible with devices like this.
Yeah, that's a tough one sometimes. But again, there's, like you said, I mean, there's a huge benefit. When you actually put it away, there may be some kind of grumbling in the beginning, some kind of disappointment that they can't use their phones during this time. But, a few minutes after that, it turns into fun. I mean, we realize that. Hey, put your phone away. Let's hang out, play a game, do something fun. Oh, come on. And then after a few minutes, it's like, oh, this is pretty fun.
Yeah, I think families ought to just... experiment, try things, see what it's like, and you gotta have a strong will with your kids because that phone turns into the most important thing that they've got. And like I said, I think we're all trying to figure it out as we go.
True.
I like that. Okay.
I have one more question. When it comes to your family, how do you all put God first in decisions that you all have to make when it comes to like your kids, their friends, their school, your ministry, those kinds of things?
That's a really good question. So my kids are a little bit older, right? So they're 18, 17, 16. And so my kids are getting to the point where mom and dad can't tell them, what things to read, who to listen to, who to make as friends. They're about to launch out into the world on their own. So what my wife and I try to do is always remember that we are going to teach them most by example. That what our kids see us do is likely going to be the best thing that we can do to teach them how to make good choices, how to make good decisions. So, I read the Bible. I try to read it every day. I try to read it at night. I try to read it in the morning.
Hmm.
I love my wife, and I trust God to give me the strength and the ability to do that well. My wife serves at our church. She devotes herself to our kids. She's not off pursuing selfish ambitions while our kids are looking for a mom to talk to about what happened at school today.
Hmm.
She is devoting herself to a family. So those kinds of things, I think, are the seeds that get planted in the hearts of our children and that I hope will grow into healthy fruit as they get older and help them make decisions that are going to be right for them.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's awesome.
And I love what you said about reading the Bible morning, noon, and night. I mean, that's what Scripture tells us to do, and we need to know it. But the fact that, even you as a busy man, as a father of six, as a ministry, a leader, a traveling, that you still put God's Word as priority for you, that's something that challenged, what you just said, that challenges me.
Martin Luther said something like, I'm butchering his quote here, but he said something like, I've got, 100 things to do, and I've got a funeral to go to, and I've got a this to do, and a service to preach, and a baptism, and a this and a that. I got all these things. I am way too busy today to not spend 3 hours in prayer.
Wow.
And you go, whoa, I thought he was going to say, I don't have time to spend 3 hours. I'm too busy. He says, I'm so busy, and the work I'm doing is so important that I can't afford.
Well, Kirk, we know your time is very valuable, so we appreciate your time.
And reading God's Word.
I appreciate your advice, your counsel, and I know it will encourage many. So thank you very much.
That day, and he's got so much to do, he better spend his first few hours in prayer. So I don't do it every day, but time spent reading God's Word and praying and looking at how you can be effective as a child of the King is very important. So when my kids see me do that, when your kids see you do that, Jasmine, when you begin forming these convictions yourself and putting these, establishing these habits, putting God first,
yeah,
your kids are going to see that in you. Whether you ever talk to them about it or not, they're going to watch you and see it, and hopefully they'll imitate that.
Kirk, we definitely appreciate your time today. You are always encouraging many people, many parents, and we're just thankful you were able to spend this time with us today. Have a great night.
Good talking to you.
All right, bye, Kirk.
Thanks, take care.